There's a common but little-known form of solitary confinement called double celling. Two men, often violent men, get placed in a tiny cell together for at least 23 hours a day. In 2016, NPR and the Marshall Project examined the violence that results. Prisoners attack, sometimes kill their cellmates. Today, we follow up with one man who had major injuries. It's now up to his family to do the hard work of caring for him. NPR's Joseph Shapiro reports.
When Chuck Homa's prison sentence ended last year, he came home to his mother's cozy house in Shelton, Washington.
Come in.
That's where I went to meet him.
Would you guys like some coffee?
Chuck Homa is quick to apologize for the way his body is shaking. These are tremors that come and go.
I've been shaking for this going on the second day.
He says the tremor started after he was strangled by his cellmate in prison. He was left with a serious brain injury.
And, you know, I'll shake for 2 days, and then I might go a week. Or maybe even if I'm lucky, I'll go 2 weeks. But then I'll shake for another 2 days straight or more.
And on this day, his whole body is shaking, nonstop. His arms and hands, his legs, his shoulders.
Imagine your body making uncontrollable jerks.
Uncontrollable jerks.
It depends on how this is going to go, but maybe tomorrow he won't be able to feed himself or nothing.
That's his mother, Donna Coma.
I'll have to feed
him.
Yeah,
they say I'm...
It depends.
It's probably going to kill me.
They didn't say that.
I'm saying it.
Chuck Coma, he's 51, came home from prison with other disabilities, too. Memory loss, an explosive temper. His vision is blurry. He has difficulty walking. Coma served time for armed bank robbery. He was a prisoner at the federal prison in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, in the special management unit, set up for prisoners considered dangerous or disruptive. Prisons often put two men into one small solitary confinement cell. When we did our stories 3 years ago, the Federal Bureau of Prisons justified this double cell solitary confinement. Suicides go up in regular solitary confinement, so putting two men together is a way to cut down on suicides. And it's true, suicides go down, but homicides go up. There are high rates of violence between prisoners locked together in cells no bigger than a parking space for days, weeks, and months on end. That was the conclusion of NPR's reporting with the Marshall Project, which reports on criminal justice.
It happened the 26th of February.
In 2016, a Friday afternoon, the prison wouldn't call Donna across the country until Saturday. It was the prison chaplain.
He got hold of me and he said, "You have a son named Charles Coma." And I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Well, an incident happened and they don't know if he's going to live through the night."
The chaplain promised someone would call back with more information, but then no one called. 2 days later, Donna Coma finally reached someone at the prison.
I said, "What happened?" Because they wouldn't tell us nothing. And he said he tried to kill himself. It was a suicide. No, he didn't.
The injuries were life-threatening. Her son couldn't eat. He was fed through a tube. He couldn't breathe. A surgeon cut through his neck to connect another tube to his windpipe.
Well, that's a breathing tube, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what the scar's there for, is a breathing tube. Keep me breathing.
Even today, the Federal Bureau of Prisons suggests Coma's injuries are the result of a suicide attempt. In its response to a lawsuit filed by the family, the government says Coma was found hanging in his cell. But that's false. We know because we have the Bureau of Prisons' own internal investigation. It concludes Coma wasn't found hanging, and it wasn't a suicide attempt. We found the report among more than 1,000 pages documenting inmate-on-inmate violence that NPR and the Marshall Project obtained by filing Freedom of Information Act requests. Originally, it was Coma's cellmate who said it was a suicide, that he and Coma clashed, so Coma faked the suicide, thinking it would get him moved to another cell. But the fake suicide went wrong.
He does not remember about the incident.
Donna Coma is right. Her son's memory of what happened is lost. But prison officials investigated and concluded the cellmate was lying, that he had strangled Coma. Coma was found on the floor of his cell. He wasn't hanging. A bedsheet was tied around his neck. But the sheet was loose and the knot around his neck was one that a person couldn't tie on himself. Coma had been kicked and hit. The cellmate was disciplined. He was moved to disciplinary segregation, which at Lewisburg meant he most likely ended up in his own cell. That cellmate, by the way, had killed another inmate at another prison. We asked the Bureau of Prisons to comment on what we found. A spokeswoman said they can't talk about it because of the family's pending lawsuit. We've come to a fence at the water's edge on Puget Sound, where police caught Chuck Coma after he robbed a bank.
According to the police report, this is where Chuck, being chased by several members of the Olympia Police Department, pulled over in a white two-door Mercury, crashed through a chain-link fence.
That's our reporting partner, Christy Thompson of the Marshall Project.
Got out of the car wearing a full scuba suit.
The newspapers would call it a James Bond plot, but mostly it was just delusional. He'd robbed the bank wearing a long raincoat over a wetsuit. He had scuba tanks in his car. And his plan was to crash his car into Puget Sound and swim away. The police would find the submerged car and figured he'd drowned. Only the police saw him, chased him, and caught him before he could get into the water. Today, Coma says he was high on drugs. He spent almost 15 years in prison, the last 2.5 years in a prison hospital. He came home last year, the day after Christmas, severely disabled after that attack by his cellmate.
Look how far you've came.
For Chuck Coma, he just wants to get out of his mother's house and live on his own, maybe buy a motorhome and drive across country. But his injuries get in the way.
There's no doubt in my mind you won't get better, because you have.
He's seen me shaking all day.
Chuck Coma is an Army veteran. He saw combat in Panama and the Gulf War. When he came home with Gulf War syndrome, with PTSD, the Veterans Health Administration was there to care for him. When he came home from prison, this time with even more significant injuries, he went months without medical care.
I would have rather been dead than be in the boat I'm in right now, probably.
So Coma is stuck at his mother's home, arguing about how much he'll get better and who will take care of him after his mother dies.
Okay, Chucky, let me put it this way. You know I have bone cancer.
Yeah.
You know what I go through. I do not wish that I would die. I want to live, you know, for another 50 years if I can. So I don't think you're in any worse shape than me.
Probably ain't. Maybe you're just stronger than I am.
The year Chuck Coma was attacked in prison, the Marshall Project found there were some 3,000 inmate-on-inmate assaults in federal prisons. More than 90% of prisoners one day will come back home. Some of them, like Chuck Coma, with lifelong injuries. Joseph Shapiro, NPR News.